You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
We're broadcasting from the Cornerstone Mortgage Studios at FM News Talk 97.1. We're here with special guest Stephen Schultz from Schultz Myers Law Firm. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you, guys.
So we've had several cases come up with different negligence when it comes to condo complexes we deal with a lot, but you also hear about them with apartment complexes. Do you see any cases come across your desk with that?
More than you would know, more than you would suspect. And the common factual scenario is a apartment tenant comes to me and says, you know, the drywall ceiling collapsed on me, or I slipped and fell in the hallway. They failed to remove ice in the parking lot. You know, what are my legal options with suing the landlord?
Right.
Okay.
So my first answer to that question is, well, I need to see the lease agreement that you signed. That's the very first question I have for them, because that will generally dictate whether or not you have a submissible case that will make it beyond what's called summary judgment in a court of law. So if the contract that you've signed, the leasing agreement, has certain language in it that basically it's a covenant not to sue, if that language is in there, then generally the courts will enforce that and you will not be able to file a lawsuit.
So a covenant not to sue, if that's built into it, how common is that's built into a lease?
Very, very common. There's those provisions, and there's also what's called an indemnification provision in the apartment lease agreement, which essentially says, the tenant says, okay, if I have a friend over and my friend is injured and my friend sues the landlord, well, I will actually pay the judgment that the landlord is responsible for to my friend. You're indemnifying your landlord for any kind of judgment.
And
it
those
sounds
are legal.
Complex.
Wow.
But, well, it depends. Generally speaking, in Missouri, you can't indemnify against third parties or against third-party injury claims. So because – let's give the example of me and you, Doug. If you come over to my apartment, if I had an apartment, and you slipped and fell in my apartment and you filed a lawsuit against the landlord, well, generally speaking, no, that would not – you could proceed with that even if there's an indemnification clause, because you were not privy – to the original lease agreement that I signed with the landlord, right? So the courts say because you're not in privity of contract, you know, the indemnification agreement will not stand, and it will be, you know, it'll be stricken down as unenforceable.
But
right?
If you told Doug that you had that and that happened, is that a different story?
That really doesn't
because
make...
Because that just comes up in conversation all the time.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Guess what? I signed this indemnification agreement. You know, and to be quite honest with you, taking a step back, rarely, if ever, does the tenant who's signing this agreement understand the legality, the legal consequences of these provisions. They don't understand them because they're not a sophisticated person. And when I say that, I mean a lawyer, right?
Right.
So they're signing these agreements, these provisions that are in 8-point, you know, light type in a 6-page lease agreement, and they don't even know what they're signing. So that's another thing that we look to on whether or not the provisions are, you know, bold type, whether they meet the legal standard and the muster to be enforceable.
So the actual font and the like, the darkness of it, that makes a difference legally?
Absolutely. So the case law in Missouri says that you can't have an indemnification agreement or a covenant not to sue kind of hidden within this 6-page lease agreement in a smaller
three point font.
Yeah, so if you're a landlord, you know, my recommendation is if you want these provisions within the lease agreement to be enforceable, they need to be bolded. They need to have the right verbiage in there, and I can kind of go into details. That'd be a different conversation because it's a rather lengthy one. And then also I recommend to have the tenant or whoever
initial.
Initial right by it, so they've then recognized that they've read it. It's memorialized in a record, and it then, you know, if you're sued down the line and you're showing this to the judge, it becomes a much better argument that they understood the agreement, they looked at it, it was, you know, it was there, plain sight, and they agreed to it.
Well, I think it's a good idea, anytime you're making somebody sign a contract, to really review it with them and make sure they do understand it.
And that's another thing, too. If you're talking about the landlord reviewing it with the tenant, I agree with that. In 9 times out of 10, the landlord doesn't do that because they have an associate there who's kind of just going through the motions doing it for them,
right,
who's also maybe unsophisticated as well.
Right.
And that just says, hey, tenant, here's the 6-page lease agreement. I need your signature on page 6 and the date, and here's your keys. They don't go through each provision, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if they do, they don't explain it.
Right.
They say, here's, they'll go over, you know, common, common sense things like, hey, here's the pet provision, you know,
right,
things like that.
Things
so
that,
they're not going to go over the legal things like covenant not to sue. And generally that's for a reason, because they don't want to scare the person away, right?
Right, right. They just want them to sign.
Exactly. So that's another reason why, you know, you have to be careful in doing these on the front end, because the courts are very strict. You know, the courts are strict and they'll just strike them down.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're talking with Stephen Schultz from Schultz & Myers Law Firm. And so just talked about apartments. What about with condos? How does it change? Because now you're not a tenant, you're an owner. And if there's some sort of negligence on the complex where the ceiling collapses or you know, some other thing like that happens.
It's the same situation. It all comes down to what's in a contract, right? So it comes down to the provisions in the contract, whether it's with a condo or an apartment lease agreement, and whether those provisions are going to be enforceable in a court. So another example is a landlord or an owner of a condo, you also need to be careful if you have companies doing work on your premises as an owner. So an example would be, well, I have to get some roof work done because my roof is leaking. Mm-hmm. Well, if the folks in the company that does the roofing repairs doesn't do a good job, mm-hmm. and one of your tenants or you know one of your tenants is injured, what's going to happen there? You can be sued, but if you have the right contract in place with that person who you had do the work for you,
right.
that will essentially potentially shift all the liability from you to the person who did the work, right?
Or, of course, if they have an unlicensed contractor that yeah. maybe is not properly insured and somebody falls off the roof because they're trying to take the cheap route, that's, I'm imagining, is a pretty big problem for a complex, too.
Well, right. And what I was really directing to is the situation where if you have a tenant who sues you because, you know, their roof was leaking and the drywall collapsed and they end up suing you, but as a landlord and you as a landlord or owner say, well, I didn't do the work, this other company who I hired did, you just need to make sure you have the right right contract in place between you and the person who does the work for you. So then when the tenant does sue you, you can shift liability to the actual contractor, right?
Right. When one of the places we see this come up in the mortgage business is we always have to get a condo questionnaire filled out by the condo association. And one of the questions is, are there any pending lawsuits against the association? And if there are, they frequently cannot get a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac mortgage. So if anybody's trying to sell during that time period while there's a pending lawsuit, you may not be able to sell your unit, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, and that would make sense. That's essentially an unliquidated claim that could be encumbering the revenues and the viability of the company and you know the property per
right.
se.
Now, what happens? Like there was a case, I think you and I were talking about this last time, but where the family went on vacation to a condo, leased it for the week, and they all got really deathly sick from
the pesticide.
Unbelievable.
You know, that was complex just on its nature because it was out of the country, I believe, right?
Yeah, that was out of the country.
Yeah.
So how does something, let's just say that at the Lake of the Ozarks, I run out of my condo or something. What if that happens? What kind of stuff goes on there?
Again, it's always going to come down to what you have people sign.
Okay.
The agreements you have them sign will dictate whether or not you're going to be liable and to the extent you're going to be liable to harm, whether it's personal injury, whether it's acts by third-party criminals. You know, if you have a condo at the Lake of the Ozarks that you rent out that you never even go down to, and you don't know what the state of repair is in the common areas like the
right.
hallways, and
right.
and let's say you rent to somebody and a third-party criminal comes and robs that person or harms them, well, you could potentially be sued for the act of that criminal.
Their act. Wow,
right?
Interesting.
It's crazy. So you just, like, I always recommend just make sure you have an ironclad agreement in place that you have everybody sign at the moment you rent to them.
Mm-hmm. And then can you recommend people that we can send to for those contracts?
Yeah, you know, it depends on the situation and what you're renting and where you're renting, because it's controlled by state law. Okay, so different states will enforce contracts differently. Missouri enforces contracts differently than Illinois does. You know, generally, I can tell you as a matter of principle that contracts are made to be enforced, and the terms of those contracts will generally be held enforceable by courts, because courts want what's called freedom of contract. That being said, it depends on the situation, the area. So I always recommend if you have a question on that, just call my office, and I can at least direct you to the right person. But I don't think there's somebody in general who I can say this is like the
That's fair enough. Yeah.
The authority on the matter.
Get some
direction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so if anybody needs legal advice, reach out to Stephen Schultz from Schultz & Myers Law Firm. And, Stephen, the best phone number to reach you is what?
314-444-4444.
And you guys specialize in personal injury, but you also can make referrals to a lot of attorneys in other areas.
Absolutely, and that's something we tout on our website. So I have relationships with some of the best lawyers in town that practice different areas of law. And the way I look at it is I'm very good at personal injury. That's what I do all day long. That's what my firm does. I can do traffic tickets. I can do other areas of law, criminal law, but I'm not going to be that great at it, right? Because I don't specialize in it. So I have, you know, I have relationships with the guys who specialize in those areas, whether it be contract law, whether it be wills and trusts or estates. And so if somebody needs something, they can come to me and I can give them my trusted source who I would go to if I was in their situation. So I always recommend that. It's a good starting point.
Well, and you guys are a great resource for that. So your resource for them to get a referral, but then on your website, great resource just for information. I love it. SchultzMyers.com. You guys have put a lot of work into that site.
Yeah, and we do that because I think it's important for people to be able to get good information on the internet, because there certainly is a breadth of bad information. And so, you know, I like to have a website that's up to date, that's current, that has what the changes in the law are, because the law is always evolving. So what was the law 6 months ago in injury may be completely different today.
Right.
So I always have things updated on our site so you can go there and know that you're getting, you know, the accurate information.
Very good. So SchultzMyers.com is a website. Visit it. Learn about it. If you know somebody who's had a personal injury, you need to make sure that they're really well represented, and they will be very well represented if they use Stephen Schultz from Schultz & Myers Law Firm. So great stuff. Definitely appreciate you sharing your information, sharing your knowledge with us.
Always great being here, guys. I appreciate it.
So just a reminder for you, next Sunday at 4 p.m., you don't want to miss the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. Becoming a financial juggernaut is as simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., modeling the advice of the experts, and implementing your personal plan. See you next week.
What's in a number? If that number is 4, it's your connection to help if you've been injured. Schultz Myers is easy to reach. Remember the 4s. Just dial 314-444-4444. Schultz Myers, putting you first.